Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, shalom, shalom. It is Sunday, July 29, and we are here again on the Abracadabra show, Create What You Speak. I am Ilan Azulay. And why abracadabra? Well, abracadabra, we hear it many times in magic tricks, right? But the origins of it is in the language of Aramaic. And it literally means, I create what I speak. Yeah, well, and the speech comes from our thoughts and our intentions, so we create our reality. And so this is where we talk about everything to raise our vibration. This is where we talk about how our daily presence is affected by our thoughts, by our actions, by our words. We share here. Well, I share until you choose to share. But I share here, and the number here, if you do want to share, if we come to that point, it's 818-602-4929. But wait, 818-602-4929. Anyway, those just those funny commercials. So we are. How do we synthesize our thoughts and what we really desire? Where do our thoughts come from? But how do we synthesize? How do we bridge this gap between our body, between our spirit, and our head? What are we thinking? Most of the time we are in thinking mode, and who does this to who, and if we get sucked into the daily activities of this materialistic presence, then we get lost very easily. And so this is what we'll continue to talk today. We've been talking about communication and the communication between us to the other person in front of us. And so we'll talk about this today, but what we'll talk about is today, not about the communication between others, us and others, that as well, but more importantly, between us and ourselves. Because first of all, it is us. First of all, it is for us to be as complete as possible so we can be available for service for the other person. So the first prayer I start every time is Ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha, hareni mekabel al atzmi et mitzvat aseh ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha. And the English translation says that I shall love my fellow as I love myself. The focus here, first of all, is on ourselves. It's to look at ourselves, the perception that we have of ourselves. Is it jaded or is it painted by a filter that we have on our eyes that comes from our childhood, that comes from how we've been treated in society, between other people that trigger us, and how do we react? How do we look at ourselves? And so this is what we'll talk about today. And so let's first really say that this past weekend was this Friday was really this week, all this week leading to Friday and still continuing is really really special, really intense. We had a blood moon. Friday was a lunar eclipse complete, and also the Jewish love holiday, the 15th of the month of Av. And it's interesting that those two things come together on the same day, but as I experience and as I've read and we can see that astrological events really coincide exactly with Jewish and Kabbalistic teachings. And so the blood moon. You know what? Let's talk about this after this after this love song.
לשמור על קשר לאן שהפטנט הוא בלעדי לאושר מידי והוא אצלנו ביד חשבנו שגילינו את סודם של החיים עם כל יום שנולד ומי חלם שבעולם יש עוד מיליונים שאומרים I love you אז אנחנו לא רואים ולא שומעים ולא יודעים יותר מאחרים וכל מה שקרה קורה ועוד יקרה אנחנו לא מקורים אנחנו כמו כולם רבים ואז שוב מתקרבים כמו ביום הראשון חושבים על צעדים ומרדים עם איזה פחדים נעים לדעת ולזכור ששנינו לא לבד עכשיו שככה זה אצל כולם והעולם מלא מיליונים שאומרים I love you
This was a rendition, of course, of the Frank Sinatra one, and this is Matty Caspi and his daughter. They did a rendition for that, and it's funny how many times the words really don't match like the original words, and how different meanings the songs have in different languages. So this was, as they call it, something foolish, but maybe it's foolish from the place that you come today to what you consider love, but love is it can be silly, you know, it's nice. And so that was Matty Caspi and his daughter, and this is he's a great musician, great rhythm. So we had the blood moon. What is, you know, the blood moon is, if you experienced in the last week, especially in the last week, any communication issues, not just between you and the other, but communication between yourself, conflict, contrast, you're doing something and now you question yourself, well, am I doing it because of this? Why am I doing it because of that? What would the other person say? Well, I don't care what the other person says. But wait, I do care what the other person says. You know, you have these conflicts between your own understandings that you had, that you came to, all this journey that you've done, you know, and suddenly you have these conflicts. But that's okay, you know. This is exactly where you have to be. You are exactly where you are. And this blood moon is a culmination. This is really going into shadows, into these places that really we don't go there very often. You know, these places behind this wall in your body or in your heart, in your spirit, where you don't really want to touch. It's not comfortable. It takes you away from your balance, right? Well, if we don't deal with this, really, we'll never be in balance. We'll be a missing piece. We'll put a piece aside in a drawer and not touch it. So you're not really incorporating your entire self, right? So the shadow, it's going into these places and releasing. There's a lot of release. There's a lot of change. There's a lot of change that is happening this week. Everybody that I've spoken with, including myself, and I speak to myself quite often, and all 13th of me are sometimes having a really, really a tough conversation, and we can have really an ear-deafening experience. So sometimes we have to talk in one time, one person at a time, one entity at a time. Anyway, letting go of really what doesn't serve you. That is the bottom line. Letting you go, the bottom line before the next point, right? Bottom line of releasing what doesn't serve you. Why? So you can be a receiving instrument. You can be a receiving place for connection, for love, for that which we yearn. And what is that? The man will always look for the woman, and the woman will always yearn for the man. There you have the yin-yang, right? We always looking for the other person and receiving the other person. The man will look for the woman, the woman will yearn for the man. It's a constant cycle, because we have this desire built in us, in our motherboard. Think of us as a computer system. In our motherboard, we have this code we need to connect. It is in our essence. There is also why are we connecting, but the connection, first of all, is what we all desire. We all desire. So it is. See, so when we come, okay. So we, in the blood moon, we release everything, so we can be an open instrument, an open tool, an open container. That's the right word. There you go, container. To receive what is coming to us. Anything. Connection to ourself, abundance, success. And everybody defines success differently. But whatever level you are, whatever spiritual presence that you're at, it is all good. So you release so we can receive. And then the Jewish holiday, the love Jewish holiday, has a lot of Kabbalistic meanings to that and Judaic meaning to that, but it's not coincidence that it falls on this exact junction, astrological, physical, metaphysical junction. When we release and we are able to look at things and to look at the person in front of us as a whole. Well, I'll talk about that. But as a whole, as a person in front of us, and we are able to see really where that person is, then we are able to embody this person in us. So you see, when we come down, our spirit. Let's talk about just a second about the bigger picture. The bigger picture, I mean, the bigger picture, not as better, but just the bigger picture than this existence. You know how many times I talked about it. This existence really, I mean, and we're all, not all, but many experience that this is illusionary. So beyond this experience, when we come down, the Torah of the Kabbalah teaches us, when we come down, our soul is split, really. There is no, it's split because as one, we started as one. We came from the one, right? We came from the one. We came from an infinite light, and the infinite light contracted to a physical presence so we can exist in this presence. And yet, yes, we are created in the image of. What is the image? Not necessarily a box, a circle, but just the essence. The image is the essence of the creation. So when we came here, before we come, we are one. Masculine and feminine is one. They're again the yin-yang, right? They're again the Star of David, the two triangles, upside and down, as it is above, so it is below, feminine, masculine. When we come down, we split. We're already creating, we are creating the duality just by our existence. We split and we yearn. So each one of us is half a soul. As a whole soul is called Adam. Adam, usually we refer to as a man, but no, Adam means man and woman, because the first letter, the Aleph, is the spiritual, and it has spiritual connotations to that, and the second two letters are Dam, which means blood, which means red, which means the physical. Together, the spiritual and the physical, they come together, one is merged into the other, and therefore you create Adam, you create a whole soul. So when we come, we're split. Now, so this goes into a different topic, into a similar topic, but just a different turn. So this is in our essence. When we understand that we are different, we are wired different, we have different needs, we have different understandings. It's like when you go to a party and you take a gift. Usually, you will take what you think you would like. Yeah, but, you know, if you're going to bring me, I don't know, something that I can't use, or is like, I have a different value to that than you would. That's on the surface level, right? But if one understands, especially the partner in front of him or her, they understand really what that person is, how that person operates, what for them means meaning, what for you means meaning. We're here to create meaning, because everything that we are tied to, we're creating meaning. There's rituals. That's why rituals make meanings. So yeah, as far as religions, you know, don't to get into that, but everything started with an intention. Now, how it continued, that's a whole different story. We can look at different countries, how they started and how it continued. But we are coming as a couple. We're coming as a couple. And if we understand, if we strive, it's not a one-time thing. It's not just, the first thing is a light switch. The first thing is just like flipping a light switch and, oh, I see the light. Light, hey. You know, but when you are in the dark, your eyes get used to the dark. And when I tell the person, turn on the light. No, I see fine. Yeah, but you are in the dark. No, I see fine. I can see that thing in the corner. I see fine. Only until you turn the light switch. So the first thing is the light switch. The first thing is the acceptance, the recognition and the acceptance of the differences of that when I do actions that I consider to be supportive, my partner or your partner would have a different understanding of what supportive is for them. Right? So this is the thing that when we come to this, what is called holiday of love, there are a lot of things that are, I don't say piggyback, but they're like a result of after you've cleansed, a result of cleansing. And there are different ways to do cleansing. And it's not only to wait until you have the blood moon or a lunar eclipse, or those are right. Those are only tools for us. You know, I've been to many, I don't subscribe to rituals that are designed to exalt the moon or the sun or this star or this goddess or this thing. You know, if you think about everything is a part of the creation. We are part of the creation. The sun is a part of the creation. The moon is a part of the creation. There are different, there are so many deeper levels and meanings for that, but we'll just stay on the story level, on the so-called surface level. Everything has a role. So if you're like in an army and you are a private, so your sergeant is your god, actually. You don't know anybody else. You just know your sergeant. He comes, he wakes you up in the morning. He doesn't wake you up. He kicks you out in the morning and throws you down. That's your god for you. But is he really the chief? No. He has above him so many. He in the concept of things, he's a screw in the entire constellation of the car build. You know? So in this case of the creation, we are the driver. So we are the driver that drives the car. And yet the engine is not the engine is not the entire car. The engine, although it's very important in making the car run, without the other pieces, the car won't run. You know, if you don't have wheels, you know, get a boat. No, but if you don't have wheels, you can't go anywhere. So it's the same thing. The moon, the sun, they're all tools. They're all here to bring their presence and bring what they bring to us, but they're not it. Same thing with us. We are in the image of the Creator. We are in the image of the essence, and that will come into the explanation here. But it's not all about us. So yeah, we're in this whole thing. Everybody, according to Kabbalah, everybody should look at themselves as if this world, the entire world, was created just for them, just for you. Think about this or feel it. Everything is created for you. Everything here is to support you. Everything here is to be given to you. This is the essence of the creation. The Creator is to give. All the love feelings, all the wanting to be kind, and the kindness, the importance and the necessity and the request or demand even of being kind, all these are serving towards the purpose of the creation, which is unity. It is unity. It is for us to come together. It is for us to eventually ascend back to the One, metaphorically and physically, and literally, to ascend, to be one, to be connected, to belong. So we have these qualities that we are looking at a person, these good qualities. How is the person? Is the person kind? Is the person a giver or a taker? Do you give to the creation? Do you give to the person in front of you? Or are you a taker? And we both go we all go through these places. We all experience the similar experiences, just different stories. So here's the thing. I've especially also this week, and it's kind of interesting that everything comes during this week. But I saw a post, and it's something that I've also experienced personally when meeting women, or but I read this post by this guy, and the guy said, you know what, it's a post in a private group, and it says there are, you know, these women, they don't want to date, they see a connection, they don't really want a connection, they really don't want a connection, they say they want but they don't want, and that's interesting that it came exactly in this week. Because, see, so when we come down, when we are here, when we are born, each one of us has a certain spiritual level, a certain vibrational quality. Some of us get it when we are young, especially the kids that are born after the 90s, during the 90s, are all crystal kids. Those children, if when you talk to them, they understand these concepts, these understandings. It's like they're embedded with it already. They have different issues, but as far as these things, something that took me 40 something years to start internalizing, they're born with it. But you know, that's how the world is. So that's how the evolution is. So we have different vibrational qualities. So let's say a couple is together already, right? Let's say there is a, you are with your partner for a while, and at some point, one person, let's say you, or whether you are a male or female, it doesn't matter. One person, the vibrational quality is and the spiritual presence and experience is starting to rise. And you listen to different classes and you start to understand and your perception is shifting. Perception, it's how we see things. And this is how we see things. It's really all what this is boiling down to, our perception. But the spiritual level, the vibrational quality, somebody is getting better. Better in the sense of not that is just in a higher hierarchy in the spiritual level. So the person gets high in their level, in the spiritual level, and they're growing, but the other person is staying exactly where they are, or they are declining in their spiritual existence, and they're letting their ego to surface. And when I say ego, I'm not talking only about, oh, I'm the best, look at me, what I can do. Not necessarily. This is a common state of ego, either sarcasm or look at me, I'm better than this, I can do things better than you, I can, you know, there's this kid song, right? But it's also the self-doubt. It is the self-doubt. When you doubt yourself, when you question yourself, when you go into places of fear, you don't believe that you can do what you actually know that you can do. The ego there is coming in a cloaking device of, I'm here to protect you, my friend. I'm here to protect you. But, you know, everything has a time, and the ego doesn't have a place in your growth. It will hold you back. It will put a cap over a certain growth level. And so the ego is also the fear. It's your lesser of, your negative experiences. Yeah. So when two people are on these levels, they don't match. They don't match anymore on these vibrational levels. So the question now is here, where did this relationship start from? On what ground did it start from? Did it start from a wound? Did it start from something that was painful for both people? Or it started from a place of commitment, somebody that wants, two people that want to commit, and they see their road together, and they've made their assessments of whether this is going to be a productive, a long-term relationship, or maybe if we can take the long term out, we'll just relationship. So we don't put a limit on the relationship. Because also when we put long term, there is an end after that long thing. So let's take that out. Let's make it a relationship. That's it. Right? Period. So the people don't match on their vibrational level. So then the question starts to... Then we start seeing how does the person can understand where the other person is. But let's say you didn't meet yet. What happens in these dating scenes? Or I don't like the word dating. It's like, I don't know, has a funny vegetable connotation to that. I don't know. But so let's say they meet. So the communication, we talked about now, the communication between one and the other, but the communication between ourselves, like in the beginning we talked about. When When you are not aligned, when we are not aligned with what we really want, to what really comes out of our mouth or through our actions or our energy that is omitted, so what do you think we're going to get? Well, I'm listening. Oh, okay. So here, let me answer. No, we're going to get really what we don't want. That's also the law of attraction, right? Like attracts like, dislike is disliking, getting dislike. So there is a sentence in Hebrew, a very old sentence says, "Echad bapeh ve'echad balev." One in the mouth and one in the heart. Meaning one intention comes out from the mouth and one intention starts from the heart. So they are different. There is a contrast. And so what is happening is that, let's say a woman goes out to an event, and when she comes there, she wants to express herself, but the way that she grew up, the way that she is, the way that she've experienced other relationships that were not good for her, apparently, or what appears to be not good for her, she doesn't really say that because she doesn't have either the security or there is the ego that says, "Oh, I'm not going to put name tag on me." Let's say if you go to an event. Right, you go to an event of many people and everybody puts a name tag. "I'm not going to put a name tag. I don't do these things," you know? There are those, and I've seen those. And that comes from a place of really not putting yourself fully in the experience. It's not about judging. It's about not immersing yourself in the experience. And if you don't immerse yourself completely in whatever experience you are, also if you don't like it, and also if you think that this is not for you, but you really never know what is good for you until you passed it. Only after the journey you can connect the dots. So you are here now. Be here now. Be here 100%. And not 79 and not 60. As much as you can. As much as possible to be here. And so when you don't put a name tag, for example, I'm picking that as an example, but it could be any other thing of how you don't behave because of how you think or how you think you're being seen or all these kind of things that are really an illusionary movie that you're creating in your own head. Everything that you see and experience, all the colors, all the trees, all the people in front of you, anybody that you see outside of you is only happening in your head. This is how you perceive everything around you. So the person has put a name tag. You miss on the experience of being completely immersed in it because you don't want. So what happens? The person that will be attracted to you will be attracted usually based on how you present yourself, how you are with yourself, what kind of a person do you put out for the world to see? What kind of a mask do you put out to see? And this is a very thing that we do every day. We all put masks. We all have masks on us. We go out to this place, we put this kind of mask. We go to this place, we put this kind of clothing. We go to this place, we talk differently. To different people, we talk differently. That's a whole different issue, why that happens, but that happens. So when somebody is not aligned with what's in your body and what's in your neshama, in your soul, in your head, in your mind, you know, there is no a clear communication that is between you and that goes to the outside. And keep in mind, between the head and our body, we have a very narrow bridge. We have this throat that we have to funnel everything through it and to say what we are afraid of, what we want, and what absolutely doesn't serve us anymore in this time. We had this blood moon, we had a holiday of love, and absolutely some things don't serve us. So this is the time to look at how you are with yourself. How do you talk to yourself? And also if you realize that you are in contrast, it is first of all not to judge yourself and to be kind and gentle to yourself, because you are exactly where you have to be. There is nobody else. There is no elsewhere to go. You are exactly where you have to be. So first you recognize, and then you start seeing what can you do towards that direction. What is holding you back? And this is what I help people with. I'm a spiritual mentor. I'm an empowerment speaker for women and people that really want to reclaim their power. Especially if you are we'll talk about that aspect. If you're going through a separation or a divorce, many times you lose your, as we say in Hebrew, the northern star, the direction. You get sucked into it. And you get sucked into it, so you lose yourself, you lose your truth, you lose your core, you lose your happiness, you lose your joy. Et ha-chedva, chedva in Hebrew, is one of the Hebrew explanations of the word joy. I'll talk about this. So we have the contrast. So when you are in contrast, you're really not taking out what you really desire. And this is the time to let go and to be truthful to yourself, to what you desire, to how you desire, and how you play, and what's your rhythm. And so, since we are on rhythm, conscious rhythm, your energetic rhythm, get this rhythm.
Reshet shel nechalai. קצת מתביישת, אחר כך גואשת, אחר כך גואשת, אחר כך גואשת.
Love song to my girl. That's what it was by Senor Caspi, Mati Caspi. Okay, so I just want to bring an illustration, like a story about the contrast that when we are not omitting the energetic presence that we want to omit, when we don't show what we really want, but we have a contrast between our body and our head, and we're not in alignment. So there is this a woman saw her girlfriend with this beautiful bag, and she was like, "Wow, I really want this bag. Where do you get it?" She said, "Oh, I got it in the mall in Topanga." She said, "Okay." So she goes to the mall and she looks, she calls her girlfriend. She says, "Listen, where do you find it? I'm already an hour here and I couldn't find this bag." So her girlfriend asked her, "Well, tell me, what floor are you on?" She said, "I'm on the first floor." She said, No. First floor is food and stuff like that. You have to go to the third floor. That's where all the bags are." So she goes to the third floor, and of course she has 100 stores. Just choose whatever you want. This is exactly what I'm talking about. When you are aligned with your truth, when you are aligned with what works for you in your life, doesn't matter what people say, doesn't matter what this may happen, you don't know what will happen, but this is good for you, what do you want at this particular moment, at this particular time from your life, where do you want to go? Then you are going to be omit the exact vibration that is going to put you on the third level, on a level where you find people that are aligned with you, that have the same and are in the same place of looking for what is good for them. And I'm not talking about the egoic place of good for me so it can stay with me, mine. This is not what I'm talking about. And if this is what you think that I'm talking about, I'm sorry, but I'm not, this is not it. I can say, doesn't matter. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being our best selves so we can be of service to others. Because this is really the essence of the creation, to give. So it's on the same. So when you are on that level, when you are aligned with your truth, when you are aligned with yourself, you attract and you bring those who are in the same vibration that you are. Bingo. And then you are completely in a different level. What is this level? This level is called abundance. This is abundance. Abundance is what the universe is here for. Abundance is why this world was created. This is the why. The abundance. The giving. The giving of this abundance, this is why it is here. So when you hear people talk about abundance and, oh, everything is flowing, what does mean everything is flowing? Not that you are just like, oh, I will flow with wherever the world takes me. Oh, I'm like this empty tin can on the shore that every wave pushes me left and right. No, that's not what I'm talking about either. because we have the direction, we have our willpower, we have what helps us to make actions. And the actions will lead more to other actions that will cultivate good thoughts, that will cultivate more actions, that will cultivate good thoughts, that will cultivate actions. And I can go like this on and on and on, because this is how it is. And so when you are in this truthful place between you and yourself, and it's a work, it's not an over again, it's not a light switch, it's the recognition first, then you are starting to row the boat the direction that you want to row the boat. So when you meet, you know, so let's say you meet a person, you meet a person that you think, okay, this is a person I want to build something with. It seems like that. Okay. So there are in Kabbalah and in Judaism, there are four really, it's really like a blueprint. It's like a manual. You know, when you buy something, you buy a manual, right? Sometimes people don't follow manuals and it's like, well, you know what? I'm going to put the bender over there. It doesn't work. No, there is manual. So this is how I look at that. So the first thing is, there are four things to look at a person that you meet. Is that person a good material to create something that is viable, that is long lasting? The first thing is, how is this person in their natural habitat? Right? Not how this person talks to you, that the person is really nice to you and kuchimuchi and everything is nice and let me give you this and let me give you that. To you, he can be perfectly, because he has an agenda or she has an agenda. They want to be with you. So they're going to be nice and they're going to be super nice and everything. And so look at how this person is with his friends. Who are his friends? How the person is with his parents? How is this person in work? So you meet the person, you see how the person is talking even to waiters, to waitresses. Natural habitat as much as possible, so you are like an observing, like a fly on the wall, right? So this is one thing. This is the first thing. And it doesn't have to be in the same order, but the second thing, does the person has an awe for creation, for God, for creation? Not talking about religious here, right? All you religious people out there. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the awe of creation. I'm not saying that religious people don't have that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about the essence of the awe of creation. Doesn't matter what space you are in. The respect to what is around you. The respect to earth. The respect to life. The acknowledgement of everything is here for us, not happening to us. It's happening for us. Everything is good. Everything is for us. Right? The third one is a pleasant conversation, a good conversation. Can you talk to this person? Doesn't matter how this person feels or touches. That's all. It comes to pass faster than it came, you know? Do you enjoy talking to this person? Do you have a pleasant conversation? Are you on the same vibration? Remember, we talked about earlier about, are you really what, is this person really what you want? I mean, you are meeting this person, you want something in you, but what you express outside is different than what you really want. So comes to you a person with that vibration, and you tell yourself, I don't want to, this person is not for me. Not for me, yes for me, not for me, too many options, let me wait until I go there. We talked about these options things. But can you have a conversation? Many times, and I found it personally like that. Many times the deeper relationships are happening from a friendship communication, not necessarily built on solely external appearance. Because external appearance also gets excuse me, but gets also you get used to it. it gets tiring, not because that person is not good or not good, it's just when you have so much of everything all the time, you get saturated, let's put it this way. So it's a constant work. So does the person have a pleasant conversation? Can you reach the person? Can you grow with this person? Can you co-create with this person? The fourth thing is appearance. Is the person pleasing to you? Does a person takes care of themselves? Does a person keeps good value of themselves? This is one thing to see about how that person's perception towards the other sometimes may be is based on how they take care of themselves, how they carry themselves, as we say in English, how they carry themselves. They dress nice, they have respect, they have just being self-aware of the environment. So those are really four things that you can start now. You don't have to have a special event for that. Right? How is this person is in their natural habitats? Do they have good values? Do they have awe and respect to God and to the creation and to what has been created for us? Does a person has a pleasant conversation? Can you have a good conversation with a person? And how is this person appearing? How is this person taking care of themselves? Now, I talked about blood moon and astrology. You know, sometimes I talk about astrology. They are here as indicators. It's not about, oh, if you're this sign, I don't go with you because you're this sign. Oh, wait, but your sign says that you are rising down. No, I can't take you rise like that because then it won't work. And you already created a whole story of a person that you'd never even met or never even dove into meeting. So these are only tools to help us that can help us understand, okay, where is this person? But this is really creating sometimes what you don't want, because everybody has the tools to create and change. Some of us don't have the access to these tools. And so learning these access to these tools really will elevate you from just depending on something that like only the moon or only the sun, only astrology, and I've studied that, and it's fascinating. I mean, Abraham the patriarch and his father, and they're all great astrologers, and it is all here to help us and serve us. But there are things that we take sometimes into a completely exaggerated usage, more than what it was intended for. So, last thing before I 818-602-4929. You know, we have a few more minutes. If you want to call in, that'd be lovely. one thing I want to share towards the end is really the concept of when you are together, when you are together with a person. There are basic things. There is a concept. You know, you probably know the Venn diagram, the two circles that come together. The two circles. Each circle is a representation of one whole person that we come together, and we have the opportunity to co-create. Do we co-create? Many times we go into ego, into jealousy, into competition, into this, and this has a lot of things to do with where we come from. But if we don't dive too much into our psyche, there are three ways. The Maharal is a Rabbi Yehuda Leiva. In German literature, he's called the Great Heart Doctor. He lived in the 1500s, and he said there are three ways. A person who says, what is mine is yours, and what is yours is yours. Meaning, I'm giving you here, take, but you can keep yours. I'm not expecting anything for you to give me. This person is considered a chassid. This person is considered a giver. Come from the word chesed, compassion, from the right line of our body in Kabbalah, chesed. Mine is yours, yours is yours. It's not about come step over me and kick me. No, it's about respecting and wanting the best for the other person. And so this is a chassid. So, and then the other person, there's another person says, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours, leave me alone. And then there is a third person that says, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine too. I deserve, I'm entitled to have what you have, but hey, don't touch mine. The third person, Israeli, is considered a rasha, a negative person, a bad person, or in, as we call it in our daily thing, an egoistic person, right? But the second person says, what's mine is mine and yours is yours. It seems to be, oh, this is right, this is just, this is truthful. What's mine is mine and yours is yours. But no, the rabbi says, Rabbi Yehuda, the Ramchal, the Maharal, sorry. He says, it's not so, because the only reason I want yours to be yours is because I don't want you to touch my stuff. When I say mine is mine, yours is yours, it's like, listen, mine is mine, yours is yours. You stay there, don't get close to me. You don't want it because you want good for the other person. You just want not, you don't want that person to touch what is yours. That's why you also started with mine is mine and yours is yours. First, mine is mine. You stay over there. So when we look at relationships between a man and a woman, or a coupling or a relationship, when we come from these either two places that are not a giver, man, that is where the issues of jealousy, of anger that come in, of miscommunication, misunderstanding, who is this person in front of me? But the essence, when we come as a, I am a giver, I want to do the best for you, you are my partner, you are my wife, or you are my husband, if a woman says that, you're my partner, I want to give you, you don't have to give me. This is actually creating, this is manifesting the essence of creation. The essence of creation is to give. And so when people ask, well, why to get married? You know, we can live together, I give her, she gives me, you know, we do this. There are many, many very, very deep things about the marriage, but one of the things, one of the core things is this is an opportunity for us, this is so we can be givers. We can learn how to give to the person that we live with, that we share our life with, just like the creation has given us abundance. So connect to yourself, see what really works for you and what doesn't work. Don't put energy on what doesn't work for you, because you'll keep getting that. See what works for you, what you desire, what you want. Unfortunately, the time is running short, and unfortunately we also go through separations and divorces. And when that happens, many times we lose ourselves, we lose the star of the north, we lose our guidance, and we get sucked in into this presence. And this is also where I come and I help you. If you went through a divorce, if you went through an abusive relationship that left you with broken wings, that left you losing sight of yourself, losing track of yourself, self-doubting yourself constantly, that is holding you back and you really don't understand why, there is a way, and there is a way to look at these things, to come to a place of harmony again in yourself and recognize this contrast and reunite everything. So with this, I send you much love and a wonderful, wonderful week. You're creating exactly what you speak. So with that, this is This is Ilan Azulay, and you can find me on you can find me on facebook.com/bodysoulsound. And yeah, my love is independent of ever of anything. Happy Sunday, Litrot. I'll see you next Sunday.